When Paul wrote his letter to the Galatians, all was not peaceful. The devil was up to his usual tricks, tempting people, trying his best to get them to believe in something else besides the divine word of God. No surprise there, right? Just look in the Old Testament. It's filled with examples of the devil putting before the people, tempting them with false gods, clearly contradicting the first commandment. Now in Galatians, the devil acts with deceit and with cunning. Jesus warns us that a false prophet, a false teacher, comes as a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's another way of saying they look nice, peaceful, cute, cuddly, innocent on the outside, whereas within, the false teacher only wants to devour and destroy the true flock of Christ. And in Galatians, we see an example of this. Now, this congregation that Paul is writing to, they had been catechized by the apostle. They had heard him preach the gospel before. This was not his first correspondence with the Galatians. And so the devil doesn't come before them and put a blatant false god or idol. That would have been too easy to spot. Instead, he undertakes a different approach. And he does something that gets many people, yes, even catechized Christians, and that is, he mixes truth with error. He twists God's word just enough so that at first it sounds correct, but upon closer examination, it's got enough false teaching in it so that it is dangerous to the soul. Let me give you an example. What if I stood up here and I told you, all you have to do is believe in Christ and be circumcised, and salvation will freely be yours? Might sound pretty good at first. You hear the word salvation. I see one person shaking their head no. The word salvation, you hear the word Christ, you hear the word free. But it's got its problems, doesn't it? Because the gospel does not require circumcision. Or if I said, all you have to do is believe in Christ and eat the divine diet God prescribes in Leviticus, and you will be free into eternal life. Again, some problems, truth mixed with error. The dietary restrictions have nothing to do with the free gift of forgiveness that is yours in our Savior Jesus Christ. Something is not free if you have to work for it. I bring this to your awareness because this was happening in Galatians. Truth was being mixed with error. God's law was mixed with his gospel to ultimately come up with a new teaching that was foreign to Paul's gospel. It was foreign to the gospel that we hear in Holy Scripture. So in light of the confusion and the abandonment of God's word, Paul, today, we hear it in his letter, he sets his congregation straight. Relying on the law to achieve salvation in any way, shape, or form is tantamount to being under a curse. The righteous shall live by faith. Ladies and gentlemen, living by faith and living by the law are two different things. If your source of life before God is how well you keep his law, Paul could not be any more clear. Cursed be you. Why? Why would Paul say those remaining in the law are under a curse? Pastor, I thought the law was good. I thought it was wise, just, showing us those works that are pleasing to God, showing us what we ought to do as Christians. Why all this talk about being cursed under the law? You're right. The law is good. The law is wise. It is just. And that's precisely the problem. The law is good, and we're not. The law makes its demands and threatens with punishments. As soon as we undertake that task of trying to keep God's law down to its every detail, we find very quickly our mistakes, our shortcomings, our sins. Love your neighbor with all of your heart. Stop worrying about things. Stop worrying about your possessions. Stop worshiping idols. Stop lusting after others that you see. If you get angry in your heart, remember what Jesus says. Just anger in your heart toward your brother or sister is no different than murder. These laws are good. They are just and they are wise. God's commandments are expected to be kept. And for sinners, this is a real problem. Trying to achieve life and God's pleasure by carrying out his law, it's impossible for sinful flesh. It is impossible to present ourselves before our holy God as if our paltry works, deeds, and accomplishments overshadow our sinfulness and please a God who demands perfection and holiness from his people. God is not great on a curve. God does not look at scales and balances, sorry, as if the good works outweigh the bad, you're in, if not, you're out. No, it's not how it works. You're either blessed or cursed, forgiven or condemned, saved or forsaken. So, Christian, the curse of the law comes about because of this. It exposes our sins. It shows us where we have fallen short, all before a holy God who demands satisfaction for sin and holiness that pleases even him in this area. That is to say, before our holy God, there is nothing our hostile, sinful flesh can present. We have nothing to give. Reliance on the law, then, is a reliance on death. And all this talk about being cursed under the law, it comes from an apostle who used to do exactly what he now preaches against. Before Paul's conversion, a conversion that happens by grace, he lived by this law. He was zealous for the traditions of his fathers. He knew the Torah frontwards and backwards. He dwelled in that law of Moses that includes things like circumcision, dietary restrictions, and all of it means nothing compared to the riches and the glory of Jesus. Christian, true life, life eternal with our Lord and our God is yours. Not because of the law, but as Paul says, as he pulls from an Old Testament passage, Habakkuk, the righteous live by faith. The righteous live by faith. And this faith Paul is talking about, it is not something that comes from within. It is not something that comes from our mind or from the flesh. But this faith is a gift and miracle from our Lord and our God that comes from his word. We've heard the passage in Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the words of Christ. And who this faith clings to, Paul is also clear. This faith clings to Jesus. And when faith grabs hold of Jesus, friends, it grabs hold of everything our Lord and our God promises. His holiness, his righteousness, and his forgiveness. That's what it means to live by faith. To live a life of repentance and faith in our sole source of forgiveness, holiness, righteousness, and our salvation, none other than our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. This is wonderful to know, because in times of despair, in times of doubt, when you're suffering, Christian, affliction, when your flesh is feeling weary and you are tired and worn down, or you are wrestling with sin and it all takes its toll on our bodies and our souls, know this: the righteousness that God promises and gives to you comes not from your flesh, not from your own strength, but it is yours in Jesus Christ, your Savior, by faith. By faith. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Pastor, you're leaving some stuff out. You've got to be. Maybe Paul is cherry-picking from the Old Testament. Maybe he didn't finish quoting all of Habakkuk. There's got to be some works involved somewhere. Are you saying, Pastor, I'm free to do what I want? I can live my life apart from the Ten Commandments, and it no longer matters how much or how little I sin. Can I be sexually immoral? Greedy? A thief? Does it matter? Do you want to do these things, Christian? Do you who call yourself holy and redeemed want to practice sin? Or do you rage against it, desiring to do what is right, but ultimately at the end of the day, relying upon Christ for God's mercy and life? The sweet message of the gospel, it is not an excuse to sin so grace abounds. The gospel is not a free license to sin until your heart's content, as if there's no need to worry about sin because it cannot drag you away from the faith God has given you. And speaking of works, they're certainly part of the Christian life. I don't want to give it all away here in this sermon, but in our last midweek sermon that we're going to get to, we're going to look at Galatians 5. And that is where Paul, after he has spent a lot of time on the teaching of forgiveness and justification in Galatians, he will talk about those fruits of the Spirit, those good works that flow out of the Christian by faith. That's right. Christians live by faith, and that faith will produce works for others because faith is living, busy, and active. Faith is not an idle thing. So when Paul says the righteous live by faith, he is talking about a faith clinging to Jesus, and therefore good works of mercy and compassion will come forth out of that faith to our brothers and sisters in need. The good tree will bear good fruit. And finally, my last point is this, and I'm going to say something to you that every experienced Christian knows, and that is this. Faith gets afflicted. Having faith is not an easy matter. Sometimes we doubt the glorious promises of the gospel. We sink in despair whenever life hits us in the gut, and how easy it is to have that thought, God does not love me. My day has been rotten. Life is not going how I planned it to. My body is getting weaker with age. It must be that God does not love me. Away with such thoughts. Christian, God's love for you cannot be measured based off of a chaotic creation. God's love for you cannot be gauged whether or not you're having a good day. No. God's love for you is found in none other than our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How much does He love you? He loves you enough that He was willing to lay down His life for you. You are so important and so precious to Christ. He was willing to pour out His blood for you to free you from under the curse of the law. That's another way of saying Christ has purchased or redeemed you from sin, death, and the devil by going here on Calvary's cross to become a curse in our stead. In other words, Jesus hangs here on the cross to absorb God's divine wrath for sins, and by doing that, by being the forsaken one here, your sins, Christian, have been paid for in full. And when faith grabs hold of Jesus, you have His innocence, His righteousness, His mercy and forgiveness because of His work, because of His crimson blood staining that tree red. You have life. That is how much your Lord and your God loves you. A steadfast love that never ends. A love that has won for you, Christian, the free gift of salvation, life everlasting. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, from now until life everlasting. Amen.